New documents revealed by U.S. Right to Know under Freedom of Information Act legislation have added more evidence to the suggestion that there was an attempt to assemble viruses similar to COVID-19. Initially, all we heard was that the coronavirus was caused by human contact with animals in a wet market in Wuhan, China. But some were skeptical of that theory and thought the virus came from an accidental leak from a bioweapons lab in Wuhan. And then some researchers concluded that the virus originated among miners in Mouyang, China. Jonathan Latham is a virologist and plant biologist and the executive director of the Bioscience Resource Project. He spoke with KGVM contributor David Rosenberg.
Sounds like the theory of COVID has evolved over the years. At first, there was this general idea that it was transmitted by bats and at a Chinese food market. And then there were people who said, no, it was an accidental leap at the Wuhan lab. And then you were talking about the miners' theory. So where is it at now? Is there a new consensus or is there still serious debate about the origins of the virus?
Well, I would say that there is still a serious debate among people who think it leaked from the lab as to exactly what kind of a leak that it was. I would say that anybody who says it did not leak from the lab is arguing in bad faith. I mean, at the present time, there's such a mountain of evidence in favor of some form of escape from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. You can't really escape discussing that. You know, people, it's legitimate to have doubts. I think all of us, you know, any sensible person leaves room for doubt in all these questions. But what certain virologists have been saying all along is that undoubtedly it was a zoonosis, and that is clearly a bad faith argument at this point. The discussion, I would say, at the moment is more about whether the virus was engineered and also escaped, right? So was, for example, the furin cleavage site added on purpose, or was it what we believe, which is that it had actually evolved in a sense naturally, but inside people who are hospitalized and whose samples were collected by the Wuhan Institute of Virology. So those would be the miners.
So what about people like Anthony Fauci? He was kind of against the lab leak theory, at least publicly. Has his position shifted at all?
Well, I mean, he's occasionally allowed some room in his public statements for the possibility that it might have been a lab leak. But, you know, behind the scenes, he's done two things. When he has done his level best to squelch any discussion of the lab leak theory, but at the same time, discussions that he's been involved in have accepted that there's a very high probability that there really was a lab leak. So he's then played rather a complex game in all this.
Some people don't want the lab leak story to get much play because they're afraid of more tensions with China. What do you make of that argument?
Well, I mean, it makes no, you know, in a sense, if your concern is racism or national anti-Chinese nationalism, for example, it really doesn't matter that much if the virus escaped from a seafood market as a result of hunting or farming activities that were shouldn't have been going on versus lab activities that shouldn't have been going on. So, you know, when people say that the lab leak theory is racist or nationalistic or anti-Chinese, it's unclear what they actually mean by that. But that concept has been bandied around endlessly. And to me, to my puzzlement, really.
It seems like in some cases, it's not that they really object to the theory. It's that they think that certain forces in society and in the political world will take advantage of it to create a kind of racist trope about it.
There is that possibility, right? There are people who want to do that. But to me, as a scientist, it's more important to get to the truth. And if you get to the truth, then there's less possibility for people to manufacture a fictional story that's to their liking that may end up serving those kind of powerful people even more. And that's the worst concern for me.
If you had to lay out what you think really happened, what would you say?
Well, I would bet my house that what happened was that there was an outbreak of a novel coronavirus in 2012 that happened inside the six miners who had COVID-19 type symptoms, that virus evolved inside them, and that their samples were harvested by the Wuhan Institute of Virology. So all of this is basically known. And then they took those samples and they attempted to do some what's called reverse genetics. The reverse genetics is basically where you take an RNA virus that, in order to be kept alive in the lab and studied, needs to be cultured. They turned it into basically a DNA form of itself that could be stored in the freezer relatively safely, but also less safely, be manipulated. An RNA virus is a very long genome and hard to manipulate. A DNA virus is the same size, but we have all the tools, the enzymes and so forth, to manipulate genomes made of DNA. And so that's essentially what was being done. It was being cloned simply in order to study the live virus, or it was being cloned and reverse engineered in order to do more complicated studies like swapping around bits of viruses and making hybrid viruses. But something along those lines was being attempted by the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And the reason why we think we know that is because there are hallmarks of reverse engineering in the genome of that virus. And there was a grant proposal to create those hallmarks of reverse engineering in a virus like SARS-2. So this is what I mean by a mountain of evidence. You got a grant proposal that was proposing to do it, and a virus that looks like it was done.
As far as you can tell, has all this research, is this leading scientists to the point where they can actually block these kind of viruses or deal with them in a much more effective way?
Well, I mean, in the case of a virus isolated from these miners, what you've done is provided the selection environment for perfection of a human infecting lung virus. So, that is unprecedented. And what would be the defense against that kind of thing is a little difficult to be sure, because, vaccines have been a modest defense at best, I would say. Some scientists think there are no signs of vaccine efficacy in the population. And, others argue that vaccines were moderately effective. But it's clear that vaccines didn't protect the whole population. And they can be made on a case-by-case basis, but they can be made in a hurry if you cut corners and don't do the testing. That is, the virus spreads around the world in 6 or 8 weeks, new variants appear. And that's far quicker, even with RNA vaccines, than we can make and test them. So at the moment, we don't really have the tools to protect against these kinds of viruses. But what the minor theory shows is a blueprint, if you like, by which basically any bat virus can be taken from the wild and turned into a pandemic virus. And that's a concern, obviously.
Would you say that a virus of the scale of COVID could come soon or at any time?
The problem is that the pandemic has led to a proliferation of high security BSL-4 type labs of the kind that was in Wuhan that spilled the virus in the first place. And if you don't believe that this research leads to safer viruses, and there's not much evidence that it does, we learn things, but we don't necessarily learn how to fix pandemics. But at the same time, if these labs are going to proliferate and people are going to do more experiments and more creative experiments with these novel viruses, we're cooking up a problem all of its own.
How truthful do you think the health authorities have been in the U.S. with the public about the virus?
Well, in terms of the origin, not truthful in the least. I mean, there's an email of Christian Anderson, who is a Fauci confidant, saying that an engineered virus was so freaking likely, quote unquote. And yet that none of that has come out from the interviews with Congress and explained to the media and so on and so forth. So the real thinking that was going on behind the scenes among high officials and Tony Fauci and his colleagues is really not been reflected in what's been explained to the US public. But somehow or other, the truth, you know, through Twitter and a few other sources, the truth has sort of leaked out anyways, you know, in a slightly half-assed way.
Other than their public statements on the origins of the virus, do you think they handled the crisis fairly well, or was it, or there was their response inadequate?
I mean, it's easy to say they didn't handle it well retrospectively, you know, but at the time, you know, we knew very little about this virus and what treatments were likely to be effective. You know, every new virus that comes along is basically a little bit of a blank sheet. You know, you can draw some potential lessons from previous viruses, but you can also be concerned that each new virus is different from the one that came before. You know, they can have, you know, subtle differences in the virus genome can lead to big differences in the tissue specificity of the virus, in the pathogenicity of the virus, in the spread of the virus. I mean, SARS-1 and SARS-2 are really very similar viruses to each other, but they had completely different outcomes in terms of, you know, SARS-2 basically was very, very harmful, SARS-1 was much more harmful than SARS-2, but it died out as a pathogenic virus. It was eliminated. Whereas SARS-2 is less harmful, but it's persisting in the population and has nevertheless killed many more people ultimately than SARS-1 did.
It seems like we were hearing about mutations for a while, and now we don't hear so much about them, at least as far as the lay public goes. So what's going on there? Has the virus...
I mean, I've a little bit had my head down, you know, doing some research and hopefully going to publish something about our theory soon. But the issue is that, you know, we've had these new variants that have taken scientists by surprise. You know, the Omicron virus, for example, evolved inside a single person, right? So this one virus, it basically evolved more to be more virulent and more successful than all the viruses and all the other people in the entire rest of the world. So you've got 5 billion people infected with COVID during the time that Omicron was evolving inside a single person, and yet the virus that ends up being the most successful one is Omicron. And so this is a situation that took virologists by surprise. And so it's really hard to rule out future surprises too.
Anything else you want to add to what you said?
You know, the question you ask about, you know, is there going to be a scientific consensus? You know, I went to a virology meeting, well, three virology meetings last summer. And in each one of them, the consensus among the virologists was that they didn't know anything about the origin of the virus. And it was simply because they all understood that if they looked into this subject, it would probably be bad for their careers. And so they would just look the other way, right? Because you basically got a media consensus that it came from the Hunan seafood market. And then you got people who actually asked questions who found that story very, very difficult to believe. And so they didn't want to join those ranks of people who found it very, very difficult to believe, because they're now being, those people who remain on social media and so forth are being isolated and threatened. And the latest threat was two researchers from Biosafety Now had letters written to their universities, so public letters written to their universities that were made public and published in Science magazine, basically arguing that they had violated freedom of speech policies of their universities, with the implication that they should be fired.
They violated free speech provisions by speaking out? How did that work?
It's absurd. I mean, basically because they pointed out that the people who leaked the virus had killed a lot of people, and that we need to know the answer to this. And that was essentially, I mean, there's a set of false accusations that are being made against them by people who've been extraordinary bullies online, you know, saying really outrageous and totally unreasonable things, and yet who present themselves as the bullied. But it's absolutely backwards.
But you're with an organization that has some independence, and you don't have to worry about that kind of pressure. Is that right?
Well, nobody can fire me because we run a nonprofit. I mean, we could be shut down by the social media organizations, and Facebook doesn't share our material anymore. It's very difficult. We can share material on Twitter, but that's pretty much the only platform. Many of the outlets that I used to write for and that would reproduce our material no longer do that, simply because they don't accept that COVID could possibly have come from a lab, even though they haven't investigated the facts themselves.
Maybe if we talk again, things will have shifted. Who knows?
Yeah, well, things have shifted continuously during the pandemic, especially about the origins story. So I think, you know, that's all I dream to hope that the truth will prevail.
That's Jonathan Latham of the Bioscience Resource Project speaking with KGVM contributor David Rosenberg. This interview was released on August 6th, 2024.